I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
And good night. And if you're tired, grab your phone.
Box with a capital G, ball in the beat, status Chris Paul or John Wall in the league, grab a mic till the knuckles will bleed, cause I believe the potent and the potent happy geek like speed, if rationale is natural, I will weave, it's all edges and peace, setting press me on a permanent steeds,
I'm in the world with my princess player, ain't she feeling my beta, and my lore grows greater and greater.
Do you know what I just realized, Saif?
What's
it's
that?
It's been 5 years since the Tribe album dropped.
Has it been 5 years?
Because
it came out when Chappelle did SNL, and that's when Trump got elected.
5 years, bro.
Wow, that's crazy.
It's the equivalent. Let's just play the game. It's the equivalent to listening to Midnight Marauders in 98. Like, it's a generation ago.
Wow, that's crazy. Five, damn, shit. This guy
really
Trump
came
took
through
a lot
that.
Of our real estate, man.
I'm that album. Real estate. That album came through, man. It was so much better than I ever expected.
Really? You liked it that much?
I love it. I think it's a great, just like throw it on. Let it kind of, it's a really nice mood album. And the mood is a chill mood.
Got it.
For when they did it, how late it was. You know, it's like one of those sequels to a movie that comes out 30 years later.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, this is going to suck. And I don't know. I would argue it's probably better than Love Movement.
You know, it's funny. I just kind of went through Love Movement the other day, and I remembered how much I didn't like it.
It didn't. It still didn't change for you.
No, I thought it would. Like, actually... What's funny is, and I hate to say this.
Go ahead.
I went through Beats, Rhymes, and Life and didn't like it as much as I used to.
Wait, Beats, Rhymes, and Life got worse and
yeah.
Love Movement's bad as ever?
They were kind of this. I thought I liked Beats, Rhymes, and Life way more.
I remember you hating on both.
No, Beats, Rhymes, and Life got, well, there's one song on there I love.
Well, hold on. Let's go through quickly. Let's just.
All right. Well, here we are.
Just give me, let's just go, let's come up with a new system we do. Yay or nay on each track. Yay or nay on phony rappers.
Like, but yay or nay for what?
You fuck with it or nah, man.
If it's on, I like it, but when I listen to it, I was like, when I start comparing it to other songs, it doesn't hold up.
It's not low end theory. What about this one?
That's the one I love.
You like this one?
I love this song. Is that Dilla?
Yeah. I mean, it's all of them together.
Yeah.
It's Uma. What about?
This is that's one of my favorite songs. Ghetto mentality and innovators, haters. Some of y'all may really hate us, but we won't be sore. All we want to do is rock.
We be the crew that possess the wicked instrumental, damaging your mental.
From here to Sacramento.
This year group was made for vintage freestyling. Feeling like I'm chilling on the Caribbean.
Do you think Fife owned an Atlas?
What did you say?
Do you think Fife Dog, rest in peace, do you think Fife Dog owned an Atlas?
And he just sat around looking at it?
He just always tried to find, what's, I need a place that rhymes with this.
He loves, I think Fife really connected with places that he spent time in.
I agree.
Which is like you. You're like that.
I am like that.
Like, right. You have a relationship with, like, he went to Sacramento for a couple shows, met some people. He thought the Sacramento Kings were cool.
Some
player on the Kings probably liked him, you know, fucked with his music, gave him tickets to a game. And it's like, yo,
the hang factor has definitely affected what I think about places I've gone. Because I, like, you go to some places and that place, that town is shitty. Yeah, but I had a great hang. I was hanging with some cool ass people. They took me to the spot. You know what I mean? Like, that does affect how you talk about shit.
It's such a great point. And I think you really understand it now more that you, now that you have traveled so much. Now, track four is the joint. Well, it's actually the jam. I think this is a lot of people's favorite song on here. You fuck with this one, right?
It's okay.
Okay, hold it. When it comes with the little guitar, the bam, 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 bam. The problem with this album is, if you want to be real, is the singles are the weakest single combination they ever had prior.
I wonder why what happened there.
Like, this was cool, but it wasn't special, truly special.
You're on point five. Once again, tip. You're on point five. Once again, tip. You're on point five. Once again, tip. Watch me bust that shit. Okay. Ooh, you better tell me once again, this is the year that I come in and just devastate. My style is great, at your people's can I dominate. My rhymes are harder than last night's erection. Don't blame it, host. I have this mic up in your midsection. My shit is love, simply meaning that
my joint is tight. Amping up the mic, making sure production's tight.
Sometimes I might catch a severe
case of writer's block.
But by the end of the day, you'll be on my job. Your name's Malik Mahabi.
It's like I love once again, but it's not.
What do you think? That was a single?
That was a single? That was the first single.
What do you think they were? What do you think made them pick that as a single? Like, obviously they had a feature. Who knows if they got the feature after they decided it was a single?
What was the feature? Tammy Lucas?
Oh, that's Tammy Lucas? I thought that was Faith.
No, that's the other one. That's Stressed Out.
Oh, right. Okay, so maybe they were going for rate, trying to get radio.
But with that, I don't know. All right. Sype, I know we have a lot of random fun shit to talk about.
Too much.
It's a holiday special.
That's right. Welcome to the holiday special, y'all.
I thought, how could we have a holiday special be, you know, holiday random and be about bringing, you know, people together. So I thought, hold on. Wait for it. This isn't promising.
Are we doing videos this week?
Are we doing videos? Not if you ask Billy June. The guy never does any videos.
Do you see this flyer?
Monday, July 12th. The Beat Nuts and DJ Cypher Sounds.
A Tramp.
Big Dog Pit Bulls.
Did you ever go to Tramps?
No, but I've wish.
Man, Tramps was the spot. It was like SOBs before SOBs.
I know. It was it sounded like a great time.
There was always good shows there. Here's a receipt.
Oh, wait, hold on.
Okay.
Kaster?
Yes.
Wow. Look at this treat for the holiday, for the Thanksgiving special. Cypher Sounds, have you ever met Michael K?
I have not. Nice to meet you, Michael K.
Nice to meet you over the air.
There he is. Two guys from the Bronx.
Oh, you're from the Bronx? No, right away we got to ask. Right away we both ask, what part are you from? My grandmother was Fordham and Jerome. That was home base. Then my mom moved around a lot. But I would say I spent a significant amount of time in the Pelham Parkway, Bronx Park East area.
Okay. You know Hunts Point, right?
Yeah.
All right. So if you just turn that corner on the Brooklyn Boulevard, there's Evergreen Avenue and Story Avenue. I was right there.
So you're from the South Bronx.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Oh, and by the way, Sypha, you should know, Michael pulls that out as minimum three times a week.
But you know what? I don't have to pull it out. It is a badge of honor. Anybody who's grown up in the South Bronx, it's a different kind of vibe.
Now, Sife, tell Michael about some of the gangs your mom was affiliated with. They're probably around the same age. Maybe he remembers them.
My mom was in a gang called the Savage Skulls.
Oh, I know that. I remember the jackets.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
They are. Okay, so the Savage Skulls. All right, you ever saw the movie The Wanderers?
Yes.
Not. I know you have. I'm talking to Peter.
No,
have you ever
no,
seen
no.
The Wanderers?
I've never seen The Wanderers.
Okay, no. The Wanderers is like a bunch of gang. I think when was that movie? Like the 50s or the 60s?
When it came out, it was probably the 70s. Yeah.
No, when it was portraying, like I think it was.
Yeah, probably the 60s, I think.
And it came out in 1979.
Yeah, but it was about 60s. Yeah. Like, you know, and then it had all these gangs: the Fordham Baldies and the Wanderers. And so. Yeah. The next generation of gangs was the one my mom was a part of. Like it stems from that whole section of the Bronx where there was like a lot of gangs.
Yeah, it was. I remember it was the Savage Skulls, and then a really tough gang was the Black Spades. That was really tough as well.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
And you weren't, Michael. You weren't a member of any of these gangs.
No, I was not, and Mom and Dad wouldn't have allowed it.
So yeah, it's unfortunate. If you ask your parents and they won't let you in the gang, you just can't do it.
who's your favorite Bronx representative, Mike?
Oh boy,
that's a good
classic
question.
The classic days, because me, I'm going Regis. I'm a Regis guy.
Well, you know, I guess I have to go with my uncle, Danny Aiello.
That's a good one.
Is that your uncle?
Yeah.
Is he from the Bronx?
Yeah.
Oh.
My mom's family is from the Bronx, yeah.
Wait, Michael, tell us, regale Sife with Danny's story and like how you remember his story emerging, because he wasn't famous. He was like a regular guy. And he has like a whole comedy club sort of upbringing, right?
He was 40 years old. He was the head of the Greyhound Bus Drivers Union. And he wanted to call a wildcat strike, which he asked my dad if he should. And my father said, no, you shouldn't do it. The climate's really wrong. So he did it anyway, and he got fired the next day. So all of a sudden, at that time, he had three children and a wife, and he had no income. So he became a bouncer at different clubs, but mostly the improv. And then he started introducing the acts and never took an acting lesson, just became an actor and ended up being nominated for an Academy Award. He had a great career.
Wow. He was bouncing at the Improv in New York.
Yeah.
Because that's the same story as Idris Elba. He was
really
the doorman at Caroline's. Yeah, he was the doorman at Caroline's. Nope. He got the call for The Wire while working at Caroline's. Like, he got the call back while he was working a shift at Caroline's.
That's amazing.
Wait, that's a wild story because,
yeah.
I mean, God bless your uncle, Danny. But from a physical standpoint, you know, Idris Elba looks like a guy who you would have thought was always an actor or model or something.
No. I think he was more of an actor than
like he was trying, it just wasn't happening.
Yeah. He didn't fall in. I think he was trying, but he happened to work at that comedy club while he was trying to get auditions.
I don't necessarily agree with that, though, Peter. I'm incredibly good looking. I never became an actor. I mean, come on.
That's a very good.
Yeah, but you're on TV though. So
that is true. You are on TV.
Yeah, I'm acting like a sportscaster.
Exactly. Now, yeah. Sipe, do you remember when Idris used to be like, I don't want to, this is a nasty word to use. I'm saying it affectionately. Uh-huh. But do you remember he used to be like borderline a Hot 97 DJ groupie? He was like such a fan of DJs.
Oh, he still is. He still is 100%. That's why I love the guy. He's in it.
He's real
music. Yeah.
Real record collector, real DJs, DJ fan.
He still DJs. He always has real DJs around him. He's in it.
Now, Michael, did you do anything interesting this weekend in preparing for Thanksgiving?
Preparing for it? I continue to lose weight so I can eat a lot on Thursday.
By the way, talk to Sipe about this. Sipe, Michael is losing weight in a way. I believe he has a severe illness and will be dead soon. I've never seen someone drop weight like this.
How you doing it, bro?
Yeah, what are you doing?
I'm drinking a protein shake in the morning, protein shake at night, and then pretty much just eating protein-based foods, you know, steak or whatever, chicken for dinner. A little broccoli, and then I work out twice a day.
Work out twice a day.
Twice a day.
And how much are you down over how long?
There's no trick to it. You're just doing it the right way.
Listen, I love tricks. You know, I was actually watching the History of Late Night, that show that was on CNN. It's on HBO Max now. And David Letterman had a joke. He said, yeah, I love the places that go, you know, you can lose weight without diet or exercise. And he looks into the camera and goes, well, that would lead to disease. So if you want to lose weight, if you eat less, you have to burn more calories than you take in. That's what I'm trying to do. Although jinx me, son, because I was down to like 217 and then he started going nuts. So you can't, that's too much. Blah, 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 blah. So now I've like settled for like 221, 222. And I'm angry with Peter.
But yeah. Sipe, keep in mind, Michael's like 6'5",
222. It's not bad. He always just add a different number. He called me 61 last week on the air. Now I'm 6'5". I'm only 6'4", and I'm only 60.
Now, by the way, this is a good thing to ask you about, too, that I think Sipe will appreciate. Considering, your diet trick isn't really a trick. You're eating no food and working out 7 hours a day. But you told me something that's interesting, that 60 of all the birthdays – 60 really hit, you said. It hit different than anything else.
It hit different, yes. It's terrible. It's terrible. And before that, 50 was awful. The last one I was not concerned about was 35, but 36 hit really weird. Because 35, you could still feel like you're young. Then every milestone one hits, but there's nothing like 60. I'm sure, you know, if I'm lucky enough to reach 70, I'll feel lousy about that. You know, 60 is like an old person. I don't feel like that. I just feel like I'm still in my mind 12. So 60, you can actually see the finish line.
60 sounds rough.
60 does sound rough. Awful. But I really do think it, while you're right, and when you said it, I thought about it a lot. When I thought about it more, I realized, I'm like, yeah, but think about it. You're going to hit 70, God willing. And at 70, you're going to be like, 60 is a different kind of old than 70. Because 60, they're like, for example, in your field as a broadcaster, 60 is still prime career time. It's not the end. 60 is still, you're totally in the midst of it. As evidenced by, Al Michaels is doing Sunday Night Football, he's 77, 78 years old. So 60 is not even near the finish line. 70's old. And the one that I really like now to think about is 80. There's just no games to be played with 80. You are full on. You are a ticking time bomb at 80. But at 60 is still relatively young.
Yeah, but see, I think of it this way. Like, I'll be watching TV and then you see somebody 76, you go, wow, that's old. And then you go, That's just 16 years from now. You know, you just do all this math, and with young kids, you do all the math as well. So I always look at Callie, and she's 8. So when she's 18, I'll be 70, and that'll just be brutal. And then I do the math on Charlie. He's 7. So when he graduates from college, that'll be 22. So I'll be 75. Yeah, that's good times.
But I'll tell you, I know this set. Sife, what do you think? I really think that for someone who's done well and takes care of themselves, 75 is nothing like it used to be.
Not like it used to be, but I know exactly what he's saying about, because I got kids too, older. I have my kids older, and I'm going to be I'm going to be the old dad. You know what I mean? But I don't feel old. I don't look young. I don't live old. You know what I mean? Like,
but Sife, look on the bright side. As much as you think of yourself as the old dad, Michael's older.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you've got that going. Hey, listen, I feel the pressure. I still don't have kids. So I think, believe me, I do nothing but crunch numbers. All I do is, well, if I have a kid, I'm 42. If I could have a kid by 44, and when they graduate, I'll be 62 from high. All I do is the math. So I get it.
Well, you're pushing K territory. Because I started that thought process like at your age, and you know, all the planning, and then all of a sudden you're 50 when you have one, and then forget it, then it's over.
Wait, Callie came when you were 51?
Let's see, I'm 6. Yeah, Callie's gonna be 9 in January. So yeah, so 52. I was 50, maybe 52, 52, and Charlie was 54.
All right, so I still have a few years to get ahead of you here, but not.
Oh, I always love when people want to make you feel better. And they go, you know what? Tony Randa was like 72 when he had a kid. I go, yeah, he's dead now.
Tony Randa. Listen, anyone who pulls out.
The guy who abandoned his 7-year-old because he was old as shit and died. Yeah, he's fucked up, man.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, that's not always the standard, I guess. Okay, what's the Thanksgiving plan you have over there, K-Tom? Is it just going to be the four of you? Is your sister coming over?
We're going to my sister's house, and we have not had dinner indoors anywhere in 2 years. So Jody, because she's a planner, she has bought, five in my sister's house and then 5 here. And we're going to, she bought 10 rapid tests. So nobody goes into the house unless they've tested for COVID.
So now how close are, don't your kids have the first shot already?
Yes, but they don't get the second one till like next Monday.
So because of the no full vaccination.
I finally got the booster on Saturday.
But yeah, Michael's a great case in the booster, by the way. Michael's my favorite kind of booster. He literally talks to a doctor. Doctors are going, hey, listen, we checked you out. You're fine. You're protected. You're good. He's like, give me the booster. You now have too many antibodies.
I stopped. I had an appointment like 2 weeks ago, and then I did take a test to see, you know, the spike proteins, which is the key. It's like more than antibodies. And I said, well, you can't even measure it so high. And then I just keep seeing all these. You've got to get the, Fauci, you got to get the booster. Over 6 months, you got to get the. Nobody talks about this stuff. In my life, which is 60 years now, Peter, I don't know if you know that. In my life, I've never seen messaging worse than this about this. It's just it's the worst on both sides.
Well, I saw a friend yesterday in the wrestling business who's in great shape. He's a professional athlete. He's almost 50 though. He's up there, and he was vaccinated. And a few weeks ago, he was tested, and he got a negative test because he tests all the time. And then later that day, started feeling the shivers. And then he was completely laid on his ass for 2.5 days with COVID. And to your point, he was probably vaccinated around 6 months ago. But yeah, I get it. He was like, he was sort of at his wit's end about the vaccine at this point, too, now. Because he's like, I can't believe that I got not. He was like, I thought you were supposed to not get that sick. He was like, I was fucking sick. I was really sick.
But he might have been dead if he didn't have the vaccine. But that's what you have to know.
That's what you have to. That's what. At least that's what you have to say to yourself to justify it.
My niece is double vaccinated, and it was only like 4 months, and she got a breakthrough case, and she was knocked out for 10 days, and she still doesn't have taste and smell.
What?
Yeah. Double vax Pfizer, and she was like 102 temperature, coughing, and she kept doing her oxygen and stuff like that.
Saif, how sick did you get?
I had when I first got it.
Yeah, but you only had it once, right?
Yeah, I had it once in like April of, you know, when it first came out. You know, when it dropped, I caught it early.
Early. You're always early on
that. I had like a fever for a day and a half, and then I was like weak for like 3 days. Like, but remember, this is April where we had no idea what it even was. Like,
right.
Like, we were like that's when we were in our house, wood, you know, barricading the door shut, thinking right. that the Russians were coming, but in the form of a virus.
So you like, so you were pretty sick, but you kept your smell and all that stuff after?
Yeah, like I never lost taste or smell. I felt worse. I got way sicker on the second shot of the vaccine, but it was literally, like, I mean, exactly 12 hours.
And then gone, yeah.
And then, like, gone, and I was like, I'm going to be sick for days, and it was gone. I was like, this is weird. This is, like, man-made.
I think the hardest thing about this whole, one of the hardest things is it seems that people's reactions are so arbitrary. Like I, when I got antibodies after I went to that ESPN party at the very beginning and I felt a little sick, turned out I had antibodies, I had it. It was nothing. I was sick for a few hours, felt nothing. And then I have probably been out and about more than almost anyone I know, realistically. I mean, not more than you, Saif, but I mean, more than people I know, not more than people like people like Michael, for example.
Yeah.
I've been out 1,000 times more. You know, I've traveled, yeah. I've been to events, and it seems
Wait a second. I was at Yankee Stadium 150 times. That's going out.
True, true. But did you see anyone when you went up to your booth by yourself?
Yeah, I'd walk through fans all the time.
Oh, well, you know what? Fine. I take it back. I wasn't that much. Michael's close.
But I had a mask on all the time.
Right. And I generally do too, but I've been in arenas, no mask. I did it yesterday. I've done in arena, no mask multiple times. I went to a party in the summer that turned out to be a den of Delta variant. And I had no mask inside. Nothing happened. So what I'm saying is it just seems like there's a certain level of arbitrary too. Like I probably was exposed to it again, even like it just seems random.
Listen, I was around, you know, the famous story of when Dave Chappelle got it in Austin and then his whole crew, like they just started falling like dominoes. We took over the whole 11th and 12th floor of a hotel. And like, I just still didn't get it that time. And every single person got it. They made me stay in the hotel for 4 days. Test every day, and if I didn't have it, they sent me home, and I never got it.
See, it's just so random. So I understand why you're doing the testing thing. Ebro said he's testing people before his Thanksgiving too.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, the tests are expensive. I'll tell you that, but you know,
but what is it? $24 for two or something?
Yeah, I think so. Because you know me, I test myself every hour. It's like I weigh myself every hour.
Now, how much do you generally don't you hate when you weigh yourself? Like I don't eat in the morning, so sometimes I'll weigh myself in the morning, but I'm not going to eat till 1 o'clock, and then I weigh myself again 4 hours later and I'm the same or down 0.2. I find that very frustrating.
Well, I mean, I'll weigh myself like after I drink a protein shake. I'll weigh myself after a bathroom visit. I know the vagaries of how it goes up and down. I weigh myself. I really enjoy myself in the morning when I work out. Because then you're at your lowest.
Oh yeah. You mean an empty stomach workout?
Oh, it's beautiful.
That's fantastic. Well, listen, Michael, this has been wonderful. You sound tremendous, and I just wanted to introduce you to Saif and have celebrate the holiday with you.
Real quick before you leave, Michael, does Rosenberg drive you crazy as much as he drives me crazy? Or is he out of good behavior?
There's little things about him. There's little things about him that really, really bother people. And I don't want to hurt his feelings, but like we have a call.
Oh God.
Like don't 10 minutes Saif before this. We go on the air, Saif.
Uh-huh.
We do FaceTime. Just right. To go, you know, what are we going to lead with, whatever. And invariably, he shows up 4 minutes before everybody, after everybody else. It's like our time doesn't mean anything. And then everybody's face we get to look at, and we look at, you know, Rosenberg's ceiling. It's just stuff like that.
Okay, here's the deal, Mike. When we first started Hot 97, they didn't give us the morning show right away because they had a syndicated show. So we had, they gave us what they called like the pre-morning show. And it was 4 to 6, right?
I think so.
Was it 4 to 6 or 5 to 7?
I think it was both. I feel like, no, yeah, I think on the year it was 5 to 7. I think it was 5 to 7.
Okay, 5 to 7. He's showing up 5:30, 5:40. Then we get the official morning show, and it's 6 to 10. So I tell him, change nothing. Then you'll get here on time. Like, don't change nothing with your life, and you will get here 5:30, 5:40, and it'll be perfect.
But he changed.
He changed right away, first day.
I'm still working. You know, God is not.
I'll tell you what, Sife. He's lucky. Now, everybody thinks like I'm the boss because my name's on the show. If I was the boss, he'd be suspended for being late. He would. He just would. I mean, that's the one thing that kills me is people being late.
That's the same exact thing with me. They gave me what they call lead mic. And all of a sudden, I didn't want to be the boss of a morning crew. I wanted to just crack jokes. All of a sudden, I'm in charge of Rosenberg, K Fox, some producer. It sucked.
Well, the other day, Michael, I went to this wedding, and the bartender at the wedding, I go up to get a drink, and he goes, "Hey, don't you work for Michael K?" I went, "Oh." No. I said, "No, I don't. I work with Michael K."
No.
Michael, happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you guys. Sife, nice to meet you.
Man, great to meet you, man.
I'll see you about 5 minutes after the FaceTime starts.
Sounds good. Okay. Bye.
I don't know what's wrong with me. I want to be.
I hear the Bronx. I like that guy. Now, who is this guy, Michael K? He's beloved?
He's pretty beloved, yeah. He's also hated on, though, for sure.
Yeah, I'm sure.
He gets a mix of, like, a lot of love because he's the voice of the Yankees.
Right.
And then, like, there are Yankees fans who don't think he's enough of a homer.
Homer?
Yeah, like when he calls the games, right?
Yeah.
He has a catchphrase, "See ya," when home runs are hit.
Uh-huh.
Right? But he does it for everyone. So if the opposing team hits a home run, he might not scream it excited. But he's still going to go, "Mookie Betts, it's back. See ya. Home run for Mookie Betts." And the Dodgers are on the board.
Right. And they're like, "No, that's like, Russ.
Why are you celebrating the Dodgers?" And he's like, "Well." But then at the same time, then there's some people think he's too much of a homer.
So basically you can't win.
No.
You can't win at all.
Here, let's I'll give you let me see if this will
look at my screen.
Wait, hold on. Sife just pulled out a Blockbuster card.
That's right.
All right, here we go. Listen up.
And the 3-2. Grounded through for a base hit. He's one away. 2,999 hits for Derek Jeter. Trying to become the first Yankee to ever get 3,000. The 3-2. That one's drilled deep to left field. Going back, Joyce, looking up, see ya! 3,000, history with an exclamation point. Oh, what a way to join the 3,000 hit club. Derek Jeter has done it in grand style.
There you have it.
He sounds good.
He knows what he's doing. As he would say, they don't give these jobs to chimps.
Yeah.
So, shouts to Michael K. That was fun. I got to figure out what I'm doing with the show tomorrow.
Oh, it's tomorrow. Yeah. What are you going to do?
Okay, here we go. Yo, all due respect, fuck Live Nation, man.
What is that?
They're just being impossible. They got on the phone with me and acted like they wanted, Sife's holding up another flyer. Bring it closer. The Bounce Master Doo-Wop.
Mm-hmm. Is that the tunnel? August 4th.
Where are you?
Those
Flyers are hard, man.
At this time, I wasn't on the Flyers. I wasn't on the Flyers yet. Sorry, go ahead. Live Nation.
This dude just acted so different on our call. On our call, it was all, oh, Peter, I'm such a fan of your work. I want to find a way to make this work, blah, blah, blah. Now it's on some, it didn't move any tickets over the weekend. We're not going to get to the number. We're fucking calling. You know what I think? I think y'all are fucking stupid for putting up the money for the show that in the end didn't sell. To me, this sounds like a you problem. As far as I'm concerned, this sounds like a you problem. Y'all put up the money for the show.
Uh-huh.
Knowing what the lineup was and the market and the fucking and the vaccination situation. Y'all all knew that. Why are you now going, oh, now we have to pull it? I mean, listen, it's fine. It's all good. I just feel bad. I have to cancel on people who I've already canceled on for Summer Jam because of the fucking rainstorm.
Yeah. And now, yeah, man, it's tough. Nobody understands this part of the game, man. This part of the game is the part that people don't get. They see the glamour, the lights, the shows. But when you put your name on something and it doesn't work out and you got to fucking make the call, it's the worst.
And now I came up with an idea that actually maybe you – oh, no, you're working. What time are you working until on Wednesday?
Midnight.
Ooh, okay. Okay.
What do you got?
Yo, you want to come hang with me? How about this? This is the idea. This is the idea I came up with to make up for the show.
Okay.
Okay. Tell me what you think. Because as of right now, it's going to be canceled.
Damn.
A special real late on the radio Wednesday night at midnight with all the artists from the show coming up to 25th Street. Freestyling, hanging, playing their music, and having like a session on the radio.
I can do that.
You want to come through?
I'd go to that.
25th Street?
25th Street.
Why not?
Could do that.
You want to get on the box? A little one app?
Yeah, I thought,
I know you have a family.
No, fuck the family. It's Red and Meth are over at Flex's joint. I was going to maybe stop by there. Well, but
that's going to be before that. I should get Red and Meth to come through after.
Ooh. Now you're talking. You think it's going to be approved by your corporate entity?
Yeah, shout out to TT, man. TT is our music director. She's so fucking cool. She said she tried to get it done for me. I wanted, yo, Billy June, you just sent me a DM. I mean, a text message. Billy June said, "I still think you can find a new location and just relocate it." Billy June, it'll be the same problem. There's no tickets, and you think the people who already
smaller cap room.
Okay, but Billy June, the people who already bought tickets are going to buy more tickets while awaiting their refund for the old tickets?
Yeah.
You think?
I would.
I like the idea day before is rough.
And how small cap room could you go to?
Go to the Stand. We packed that out with One Up is Live.
The Stand for a hip-hop show?
The sound system sucks and there's not a lot of room.
I like the Knitting Factory.
In Brooklyn?
It's a good room.
Knitting Factory is where you should have did it anyway from the beginning.
Facts.
Or like a Rockwood Music Hall or a Mercury Lounge.
There's no way to do this the day of, Billy. The day before.
You never know.
Oh, right. That's right. You know, I've only been in this business for maybe 28 years, something like that. 25 years.
Yes, but listen to Billy
June. You never know. You never know.
Hey, I helped with the touring shit in the agency. So you do it then, last minute shit.
So you do it.
I'll try. You do it.
Billy June, tell us right now. If you had your choice, what would you do with this event?
What?
If you had your choice, what would you, if you were to take over, what would you do right now?
I wouldn't say.
Yes! Got him!
That was fucked up.
All right, put yourself back in.
I'm giving you props. That was funny.
It's such a good trick. It's such a good trick. No, I Billy June, I actually don't think it's a terrible thought, but here's my question, Sife. What would be the better thing to do, you think, for the people involved? Trying to squeeze another small show or giving them the live radio feel on the night before Thanksgiving?
Oh no, you're talking about money, right? Don't these artists get paid?
Yeah. Well, that's bye-bye. But if we went to a smaller room, what's the money going to be?
So you're saying maybe not Styles, but you're all these other cats that just...
Styles ain't going to show up, I'm guessing. I'll invite him. I'll invite him. I would love for him to come through. But I'm saying if it was supposed to be...
We're just having a Zoom meeting on our podcast.
Yeah, like, this is a Zoom meeting. Well, like, okay.
What is the entertainment value of this episode?
Somebody, well, just cutting off... I cut off Billy June.
I like that somebody's listening to this and right when they're feeling it, I just said it out loud and they're like, yeah, this is horrible. We're just eavesdropping.
Yeah, what are they?
Pre-production Zoom meeting.
What the fuck are these guys doing? It's a great point.
Why would anyone? But here's the crazy shit. People listen to it. And I'm saying, why are you listening to us complain about how our shows are flops?
Can I tell you what I don't understand about 1UP the most? Okay. The people showed up. They came out to our show. Small, but they came out, right? It's pretty good. 100 people in New York came out to our little show. We're building it up. 550 people, pay for Patreon every week. I'm so grateful. And then you meet people on the street who go, yo, y'all should bring back Juanette.
That I can't.
And you don't even understand that, number one.
I can't, bro. Like, I mean, I guess if you don't follow us, then how would you even know?
And then on top of that, right? You go to a post. This is the one that really, I think, is nuts. You go to our Instagram and we post the episode thing and you think it would be some sort of conversation about the show with all these people listening. Last week's post has 4 comments and I'm one of them. Then...
No, wait. Hold on. Somebody goes, y'all should bring Juanette back, right? And we go, yeah, it's back. We actually do it for the last however long, blah, blah, blah. And it's not like they go,
coming up on a year. If we didn't pass already.
They don't go, oh, shit, word? That's great. Yo, where is it? How do I find it right now? And they pull out their phone and they go to Apple Podcasts. And they go, where is it? Where? And I'm like, no, it's Juanette is life. And they're
okay.
Looking, they're
got
searching.
It.
We go, no, it's back. You should listen to it. And they go, oh, all right.
Yo, all right. That is such facts that you just said.
Like, they don't fucking get all excited and jump on their phone to find it.
I don't. And by the way, you have to understand, it's not that we think anyone owes us that. It's just that I don't understand it. That's all. Yo, yesterday, I'm backstage at Barclays Center for WWE, and a guy who, an executive sort of guy for the company, stops me and goes, oh, Peter, I want you to meet so-and-so. This is so-and-so, very important person at WWE who has a very big job. And he's like, I want you to meet Peter Rosenberg. He does this, 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 and this, and this. And the guy's child is there. When I say child, I mean 20-something, right? And is there with their partner. So it's like 220. And they go, we love Hot 97. But they didn't know me. They didn't say, oh, Rosenberg? Maybe, you know, I'm like the third longest running voice maybe ever on the station. They weren't like, oh, yeah, yeah, of course. They're just like, love Hot 97. Nice to meet you, pal. And I'm like, but do you love it? Why even say the word? People, you know what it is? People throw the word love around loose.
Oh, yeah. I think I told you this before. I never say I'm a huge fan. Yeah.
I'm a huge fan.
I say I like your work.
I'm a huge fan. You're in that thing. Yeah. I'm a huge fan though. Huge fan. I just don't remember what it is you do for a living, actually, sir. So, Sife, I see you're doing some organization over there.
Yeah. Ooh, I got some fire here.
Ooh, a dough or die sticker?
Yeah, it's huge. Wait, here's a good one. You want a sticker?
What you got?
I got this one. Oh, you know what's funny? It's backwards. So when I show it to you on the screen, is it backwards to you?
Yep. Wow, Mad Scientist sticker?
Lars Pro? Dude.
Honestly, for real, can we talk for a second?
Yeah.
Where are the shirts, bruv?
Oh, the shirts are already up in the attic, on my new Florida attic, my newly Florida attic.
Sife. Ooh, you have the sticker for Shabazz the Disciple, Crime Saga, the second single that no one remembers but me and you? You probably don't
remember. I don't even remember it. I just have the sticker.
I remember Crime Saga because I was so excited thinking it would be as good as Death Be the Penalty. Guess what? It wasn't. It was cool. It wasn't. No,
ooh,
it wasn't.
Ooh.
What?
Ooh.
What is that?
That's a Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Here's what I...
PlayStation 2.
Yo, you know, Sife, we do a lot of criticizing of me on the show. Mm-hmm. A lot of criticism. Oh, Rosenberg's this... You know what I hate about you?
Talk about it, man. This is what we're
here for. When you do a post showing cool shit, you then throw in something that should have been thrown in the garbage 20 years ago.
Why would I throw out? You know I love Regis.
I know, but the other day, Sife's going, yo, check this out. And he's showing things that are kind of cool hip hop. Then he's like, what about all these old phones I have? What the fuck? Not even cell phones.
No, there's cell phones in there.
Saga. The names was changed to protect the guilty. Yeah, Shorty was used to being Jiggy, but then he fell off and did a bit for smacking this kid up in the city, sitting pretty.
It's not bad. It's just not Debbie Pell.
Pulled over one night and his man stashed cracks on him. See, he was holding and his man started flipping on him. His mom was holding because the law put a whipping on him. Shorty was scared and respected.
Yo, Sife, can I ask you a question?
Fire. That Flex used to play. I mean, DJ Riz used to play that.
Yo, can I ask you a question?
Yeah, please.
Why have we not had Shabazz on the show?
Because, I'll wait for it. Because we're idiotic losers.
Yo, this Cut Killer Hip Hop Summer 96 mixtape is the only version of this that comes up. Ooh, Sife showing a flyer with him looking like a douche.
As I embellish, mentally I nourish, resuscitate a mind state that has perished. We shall inherit his blood and require back to earth. We rise out of spiritual darkness.
10,000 year curse. The lost disciples. A business card from Sife.
Bottomless pit. What is it again?
Behind the gates of the wicked wilderness. I hear the sounds of the
trumpets
blowing across
the heavens. It's calm, prepared for the storm of the seventh. Shabazz, the disciple, the holy exalter. With those sacrificing babies on the altar.
I hear the cries of
innocent black babies who were aborted and unmercifully slaughtered. Yo, he's very right wing.
Yo, you're saying this on the podcast. Like,
what?
It's do you see the full fucking circle of hood dudes and Trump supporters being anti-vaxxers?
Of course I do.
The fucking the right wing shit is circled all the way around now. It's fucking absolutely crazy. This is what they agreed. This is how they came together.
SNL did a skit this week. It wasn't funny, like ha ha funny, but it was very smart. It was a game show. Are you a Republican? And someone gets up and says what they're for, and then the people have to, you have to guess whether they're Republican or not.
Yeah.
And Billy June, pull that up real quick. See what you can do. You could share it. And it's to your point. You can't keep track of the fucking gymnastics and contorting people do to make their views fit into their political box.
Yeah, man. It's nuts.
Yo, I saw clips of Proud Boys next to people with African flags at the fucking anti-vax rally. Yeah. You know what they all come together for, in my opinion? And by the way, you guys know I've been open. I'm not. I don't hate people who are not, won't get the vaccine. But I'm being honest, though. They're all coming together in the righteous name of selfishness. We all agree that we don't want to do shit that anyone wants us to do. I'm going for fucking dolo. And we come together.
I mean, there's got to be, like, I want to find, this is what we should do with WANAP. Hey, guys, the three of you that are still listening.
Let the meeting continue.
I want to find, remember the early Howard Stern days, or even before that, were you aware of the show, what was that show that was on Channel 9 in New York City before Howard Stern? He used to be like shock jockish. Do you remember that, Billy June? It's like a It was like a New York local show.
And I remember shows like that would be on like cable access or local TV.
It wasn't cable access, but it was Channel 9. It was like when Channel 9 was a local channel, like Channel 11, Channel 9, and Channel 5 were local.
Okay.
Can you bring Billy June real quick? Not too young.
He might be honest.
Too young though. Billy June, you remember that guy? Like, fuck him, whatever.
I don't remember, and I'm looking.
Okay, look up a show. It was before. Remember how
what was the point of the show?
Sorry.
Go ahead. You're
not focused. Bring on like black, like Nation of Islam guys and Ku Klux Klan guys, and have them like arguing their points. But it was very like, shock jockish.
Right. It wasn't like they weren't accomplishing anything.
No, but it was just fucking yelling and wild shit. It was like Jerry Springer, but even more before Jerry Springer had like regulations and shit. This guy was like wilding. Anyway, I always want to know, are there KKK guys who also like hip hop? You know what I mean?
Sure.
Or is there a doctor somewhere who is in the Klan, but he's a doctor, but like, he knows, he's like, I'm getting the vaccine, even though my political standpoint is to be against it, because I agree with every other
Geraldo.
Thing.
Geraldo.
No, before Geraldo.
No.
Before Geraldo.
I can't believe he just came in like he had something with Geraldo.
No, Geraldo did have a show like that.
Well, no, he was local, and he is from here.
Yeah. But, like, I want to talk to those guys.
And I think Geraldo's a Puerto Rican Jew.
He is a Puerto Rican Jew. I want to talk to those guys. I want to talk to like Proud Boys who are also like very COVID conscious. And I want to talk to somebody like KKK.
Should I tweet right now? Are you a Proud Boy and want the vaccine? We want to talk to you.
Like, because like they always show the extreme, but there has to be like, there's no way there's not young KKK guys that love hip hop.
There's definitely, I don't know about KKK. But definitely MAGA, Proud Boy.
Yeah, I'm talking about like KKK.
Oh,
like,
you want full sheet?
Yeah, that's like, oh, I kind of like, I like Lil Jon though, man. Like, what do you want me to do?
You think Lil Jon is the favorite of the KKK?
The reason why I say Lil Jon is because Lil Jon told me in the height of his career in the early 2000s, he would often get booked for like huge square dance events, because when we think of square dance, you think of these people doing all these like choreographed moves or whatever. But he goes, there was always a 30 minute or an hour hip hop set that night, or there was like, you know, when you go to a party in New York, a hip hop party, and there's like a 20-30 minute reggae set.
Yeah, of course,
because New York City has like so many Caribbean people, so part in the fabric of New York hip hop scene, there's so many Caribbean people, you also do a reggae set. So, like, if you're in the South, yeah, it's a square dance event with boots and cowboy hats, but Little John is running the South at that time. And that's how Little John said he got cool with those guys, Big and Rich.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was doing all these, like, country events.
Oh, my God. Speaking of which, by the way, at some point we got – did you hear the new Kid Rock song?
No. What is it? Is it for America?
Yes. It's like – it's so insane. It's him, like, fighting back. But, like, he's – oh. Yo, remember, I wanted him on Juanette, like, 10 years ago before he went crazy.
You still wouldn't want him?
I would, but I'd want to fight with him. You know,
that's what I'm saying. But like, would you still want Kanye?
Yeah, I mean, it's Kanye. But like
that shit. What do you think about Kanye? You know, I just realized after.
Yo, did you hear he was on Drink Champs?
What do you think about him saying he wasn't actually a backpacker?
Well, I didn't know he said that.
You didn't hear that part?
No.
Oh, Billy, pull that up.
He goes, also, was it Morton Downey Jr.?
Morton Downey Jr.
There he did it.
Morton Downey Jr.
I remember Morton Downey Jr. He was smoking on set.
Yeah, you remember they had that in D.C.?
No, I saw it up here, I feel like. But he became a big thing, actually. He was national, I think.
Probably went national after a while. Morton Downey Jr. was doing wild shit, man. But yeah, Kanye goes, well, you heard that he dissed Quali.
Yes.
That was the precursor to the quality.
Oh.
He says, I want to apologize to the backpack community. I never really was a backpacker. I used y'all to get on because I'm a street dude. I never killed anybody, but I'm a street dude.
What?
And I found a way to get in through the backpack shit. He goes, I never really thought Quali could rhyme or something like that.
Wow.
And he goes, I know dudes that are wearing baseball hats from 12 years ago are going to get mad at this. And it's so foul because I saw him with Quali at a Chappelle show, the one that I took the picture with Kanye. He was chilling with Quali. They were fucking rapping along to songs and shit. This guy's a fucking douche a lot.
A lot.
Ooh.
What?
Look at my screen.
Hold on. Oh, the Juan Epstein patch. That's classic.
Who sold this onto their army jacket? Let me know.
Well, we only had like 8 of them, so no one.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll sew it on mine.
It is classic, though, that joint. Man, that could go for like 10 grand right there. That's just classic.
This is my NFT.
That's by the way, that's a funny line, Sife. To just start saying to people, this is my NFT. Without any sort of explanation.
Hey, man, I
know this is whack to do on the podcast.
What's the podcast? Someone what?
Someone who annoys us. I'm not going to say who.
Uh-huh.
But someone who annoys us. I saw out the other day. What a fucking mess. Oh, man.
What do you mean? What do you mean a mess?
I just mean it seems like a lot of the people who talk shit about us or don't show us the love that they should, when I see them, he's holding up a ticket now for On the Reggae Tip at Hammerstein. I don't see the 05. Year.
05. 05. September 2nd, 05.
05, yeah. Before I even got there.
So they look like a mess?
Drunkenness.
Really?
Put in the chat, Sife.
Oh, in the chat. I don't even know how to use a chat. Oh, really?
Oh. Jeez.
Where?
Louise, Papa Cheese.
Where was this?
Friends event. I was just like, yo, man. And you must think this all the time because you're sober, but I think it too as a formerly sober and someone who just doesn't get drunk like that. Like, you're not used to open bars yet? Like, you're no, still like, getting
they're not happy. They're not happy, bro.
It's 10 p.m. You're so fucking faded in public around cool people. I told my girl, I said, if I ever seem that way at a public event,
oh, drag just me out.
Immediately say, like, yo, you seem drunk.
We like, oh, no, you're not even. fake something wrong with you that you have to leave. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Oh my God, my double period just blasted through my white shorts. We got to get out of here. You know what I mean? Like, because you're not drunk, people don't listen. Like, I'm not drunk, but get me out of here, man.
I don't get drunk enough. If I was ever at that point of drunkenness, I would be like, I have to imagine. I'd be like, oh shit, really? Okay, you're right. Yeah. I don't get like that.
We got to get out. Yeah, but that guy, he's not a happy person, man. He's not a happy person.
Yo, there's no man.
Way. There's no way.
But no Saif, he's happy. Not even just him. There's so many people in this industry who I see out that way. And I'm like, I'm like, damn, do y'all not realize that if you're drinking in that way publicly, it's not enough for you to realize that something's going on? Because it's one thing if you're hiding it from people, right? You're able to be like, yeah, it happens on occasion and I annoy my family and they can tell. Yeah. I barely know you. And that's all I know.
Yeah.
Practically.
Yeah.
Anyways, I can't do this without telling you everyone who I'm talking about because it's just fucking annoying. Billie Jean, you have that skit?
Skit is like the N-word to a comedian.
Sorry, you have that sketch? Why are you guys like, why, what, hold on. What's the deal with people being, yo, I saw someone that, the other day someone said on Twitter, I saw someone fighting about sketches and the person who was dissing the sketch called it a skit. Yeah. So the person responded by being like, I should even respect your fucking opinion when you use the word skit, fucking piece of shit.
I don't know. Skit is like.
Was that Tim Dillon?
I don't know who that is.
Oh, that shit was crazy.
What's that? Hold on. One step at a time. I want to know what that is. Hey, Saif, you know what we should do?
Yo.
We should take this boring bot podcast to Patreon.
You want to extend this?
Whatever we're doing right now, if you're the kind of person who's still here listening, A, you're very, very sick and demented. Uh-huh. But B, now you got to pay for this shit.
You want to extend this, what we were doing?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
We'll get into more things for another hour or so. So,
all right, we'll see you there. Thanks for thank you for supporting.
We love you. We really do. All right, let's continue on this big episode here on Patreon.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.